You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Dr. Michael Ziegler and his guests discuss St. Paul's harrowing journey to Rome this week on the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
I think of 2 Corinthians, where Paul says that we carry the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus would be revealed in us. For me, it's the confidence that Jesus is working in us today. It's not us, it's Christ at work in us. That's comforting to know that what he's done in the past, he's doing again.
Today on the Lutheran Hour, Dr. Michael Ziegler and his guests discuss St. Paul's harrowing journey to Rome and how God's grace enables us to face life's challenges. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Glad to be with you today as we conclude our series exploring the Book of Acts. Your support makes this program possible. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. And we'll be taking a break from our regular format today in order to cover and discuss a lengthier portion of Scripture, as Dr. Ziegler welcomes author and teacher Dr. Jeff Gibbs and Concordia Seminary's podcast producer Jessica Bordelot.
It's summertime, time to be out on the water, on the lake, or maybe for some out on the ocean, but the water can be unpredictable. It can be chaotic. So I'm wondering, have you ever had a harrowing experience out on the water? And this isn't just a rhetorical question because I have guests with me today. I'm joined by Jessica and Jeff. If you've been a listener for a while, you know that Jeff's a regular guest. He's a Bible scholar and one of the favorite voices we love to hear from. Welcome back to the program,
Thanks,
Jeff.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
And Jessica Bordelot, she and I began working on a podcast together for a couple seasons a few years back. And welcome back to the program, Jessica.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It was later in the day. We had gone out fishing, my dad, and it was on my uncle's boat. I was 10 years old at the time, and it may as well have been Lake, it may as well have been the ocean. It felt that big. And the clouds are rolling in and the waves are, the wind's picking up, waves are starting to rock the boat. And so, you know, we got to get in a hurry before this storm rolls in. And we're trying to gather up all our gear. And somehow the anchor rope got kicked off the back of the boat.
Ooh.
And nobody saw. And as soon as the motor started up, it just sucked up all that rope and the propeller and stalled out the motor. And so now here we are, dead in the water. And the storm's rolling in. I felt helpless and afraid.
Like, who was
I,
in the
I
boat
never
with
had.
You?
It was
were
my
you
dad,
alone?
My uncle, and maybe my brother and another cousin. And so my dad does the bravest. It was the bravest thing I'd ever seen. He, in the storm is rolling in, he strips out down off of his outer clothing, puts on a life jacket, takes a pocket knife in his hand and throws himself into the water, and the boat's rocking, and my uncle's trying to help him from in the boat, and he's holding on to the back of the boat, and he's cutting this anchor rope loose with his pocket knife.
That's
and
great.
I was just like, this is amazing. It gets it all free in probably, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and we get off the water just as the rain is starting. But it was terrifying. I was like, I can't believe he's going to jump in the water like this.
Did it change your view of your dad?
Oh, yeah. I was his hero for sure. So the water, whether it's a lake or a river or out in the open sea, it can be a dangerous place, a frightening place, place of close calls, life-altering tragedies. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we get through these times, not just on the water, but in the rest of life? And we're going to do this by diving in to the Book of Acts. A book from the New Testament and the Bible, specifically the final two chapters of the book. And if you've read Acts, maybe you've noticed that the last quarter of the book, full seven chapters, is devoted to the trial of Paul. Paul, who has become one of the chief spokesmen of Jesus and his people. But we read Acts and we learn that Paul gets into a lot of trouble along the way. He gets into trouble with the Roman authorities, and now he's on trial. Jeff, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Just give us a quick recap. Why is Paul on trial?
Well, as he says, he's on trial for the hope of Israel, which has a name, and the hope of Israel's name is Jesus. Paul has been transformed by his meeting with Jesus and the good news that Jesus has both died and risen from the dead changes everything. But then many of his own people are rejecting this message, so when he goes back to Jerusalem, he's actually falsely accused of defiling a holy part of the temple. So there's a riot, and he's arrested. The Romans have soldiers stationed there to keep order. Paul is a Roman citizen, so he has legal rights that most people don't have. For political reasons, he's going to be placed in jeopardy, and so he exercises his rights as a Roman and says, "I appeal to Caesar." This is a big deal. That means that the governor, Festus, has no choice but to send him to Rome.
So we're going to listen to these last two chapters, excerpts of these last two chapters. And as we listen, I want you to ask yourself, what's a place or a moment or a word or a phrase from the story that gets me, that sticks with me? And then I'm going to ask you to share. So yeah, get comfortable, lean in, and picture these scenes from the book of Acts, chapters 27 and 28 with me. Now Paul had appealed to the highest authority in Rome, to the emperor, to Caesar. So it was decided that we would sail for Italy. Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a Roman centurion. The centurion's name was Julius. We set sail from Caesarea, and the next day landed at Sidon, a port about 70 miles north. And there, Julius, the centurion, in kindness to Paul, let him go and see his friends in Sidon, so that they might provide for his needs for the voyage ahead. We set out again and sailed around the island of Cyprus because of the winds. The winds were against us. For several days, we made slow headway and came to the next port with difficulty. And because the wind kept blowing us off course, we sailed around the southern side of the island of Crete. We moved along the coast of Crete with difficulty and came to land at a place called Fair Havens. By now, much time had been lost, and sailing was already getting dangerous because winter was approaching. So Paul warned them. He said, "Men, I can already see that this voyage of ours is going to be a disaster, with much loss to the ship and to the cargo and to our own lives as well." But the centurion paid more attention to the ship's captain and the owner of the ship, more to what they were saying than to what Paul was saying. Now, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had gotten what they wanted, so they hoisted anchor and set sail along the southern shore of Crete. But in no time at all, a whirlwind of hurricane force, a nor'easter, swept down from the island. The ship was caught in the storm and driven on. We couldn't sail into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along out to sea. The ship took such a battering that the next day they started throwing the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's rigging equipment overboard. They threw it overboard with their own hands. And after many days, when neither sun nor stars appeared and the storm continued raging, all hope of our being saved was lost. Now the men had not eaten for several days. So Paul, he stood up before them and he said to them, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. You would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now, keep up your courage, men, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. This very night, an angel from the God to whom I belong, the God whom I serve, an angel stood by me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, because it is necessary for you to stand before Caesar. And look, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you.'
So take courage, men, because I have faith in God that it'll be so, just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, while we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea around midnight, the sailors sensed that they were near land, and they were afraid that we'd be smashed against the rocks. So, from the back of the ship, from the stern, they cast out four anchors and prayed for daylight. And from the front of the ship, from the bow, the sailors started letting down the lifeboat. Now, they were trying to escape, to abandon ship, but they were giving the impression that they were trying to drop anchors from there. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless those men stay with the ship, you all cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes holding the lifeboat and let it fall away. Now, just before dawn, Paul spoke to the men. He urged them, "For 14 days, you all have been in constant suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. So I urge you to eat something, because you need it to be saved, because not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." And after he said this, Paul took bread, and in front of them all, he gave thanks to God, and he broke it and began to eat some. And they took courage and ate some food themselves. We were, all of us together, 276 lives on board, and everyone ate as much as he wanted. At dawn, they spotted land, and they decided to try running the ship aground there. So they cast off anchors, loosened the ropes, hoisted the foresail, and made for the beach. But the bow of the ship got stuck on a sandbar. It wouldn't budge, and the stern of the ship was being pounded, smashed to pieces by the surf. So the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners so that they wouldn't swim away and escape. But Julius, the centurion, he wanted to save Paul's life, and he stopped the soldiers from carrying out their plan. He ordered that those who could swim should jump overboard and get to land, and the rest can float there on some planks or pieces from the ship. And so, in this way, all were saved. And after we were saved, we learned that the island was called Malta. And the islanders showed us no ordinary kindness, because they built a fire and welcomed us around it, every one of us, because it was raining and cold. Now Paul, as he was gathering some brushwood to put on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fixed itself on his hand. And the islanders, when they saw the beast hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. After he escaped from the sea, justice will not allow him to live." But Paul shook off the beast into the fire and suffered no harm. And they kept watching him, expecting him to swell up or keel over dead suddenly. But after a while, when nothing bad happened to him, they changed their minds about him, said that he was a god. Now on the island, there was an estate that belonged to the chief official of the island, a man named Publius. Publius welcomed us into his home, and for 3 days he entertained us hospitably. But it happened that Publius's father was sick, in bed with a fever. So Paul went in to see him. And after he prayed, he placed his hands on him and healed him. After this happened, all the sick people on the island came, and they were cured. And they honored us with many honors. And when it came time for us to leave, they supplied our provisions for the next leg of the voyage. Now, after 3 months, we departed the island on a ship that had wintered there. We sailed along through several ports and arrived at the Italian mainland. When we landed, we found brothers in Christ and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so in this way, we came to Rome. And other brothers and sisters in Christ When they heard about us, they came. They came from as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns and met us. And seeing them, all gave thanks to God, and he took courage. Now, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to stay in his own quarters with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, Paul called the Jewish leaders in Rome for them to come and see him. They came and he explained his situation to them, and he said to them, "It is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." So they agreed to hear him out and appointed a day to come and listen. And the appointed day arrived. From morning until evening, Paul explained and bore witness to them about the kingdom of God, trying to persuade them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were being persuaded, but others believed not. And they were discussing among themselves, and as they were leaving, Paul made one more statement to them. He said, "The Holy Spirit did right when he proclaimed to your forefathers through the prophet Isaiah. He said, 'Go to this people and say to them, hearing you will hear, but you will not understand. Seeing you will see, but you will not comprehend, because this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They shut their eyes so that they would not see, so that they would not hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I will heal them.' So let it be known to you that this salvation from God has been sent to the Gentile nations, and they will listen. Now for 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented quarters, and he welcomed all, everyone who came to him. And he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, unhindered." So what was a word or a phrase or a moment that stayed with you? And then we can say more about why. So Jessica.
Paul's like, "Why don't you guys eat something?"
For me, especially, Mike, it was at the end when they got to Rome and Paul saw the fellow believers and he took courage.
Yeah.
That was, we think of the Apostle Paul as this invincible dude. You know, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
And what an encouragement to him. He gets there. I mean, he can't text them to tell them he's coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what an encouragement that must have been to him.
I would say the no ordinary kindness that the
right.
that the islanders, they're actually called barbarians in the Greek text. These barbarians show no ordinary kindness, or sometimes it's translated unusual kindness.
Yeah.
So that's what got me this time. So Jessica, let's come back to you. Why do you think that scene on the ship got to you or spoke to you?
It seemed very relatable. For Paul to have calmed down enough to have some food, and they didn't want to eat till they saw him eat. Mm-hmm. And then like, okay, and then I can calm down to eat.
Yeah, you think, why were they not eating? Maybe seasickness, this constant stress, and he knows that they're going to make it through, and so he says, "You need to take this so that you can be saved."
Yeah, the power of a leader. You know, like with my kids, if I can be calm, then I see them being calm.
Yeah. Paul becomes sort of the captain of the ship with God's word guiding him. It's a slow transition of not listening to his advice to now they just do what he says and follow his lead.
Is that weird, though? He was supposed to be a prisoner.
Well, again, he's a high-status person. You know, even under house arrest, you know, Paul is, and he's a Roman citizen, right, which is like belonging to the 1%. And I was thinking that he was in eating. Why bother eating if you're going to die?
That's true, too.
And so he was actually showing them what his confidence was, and they sort of went, and I think you're right. Oh, well, he's eating. Maybe I can eat, too.
And there's so many allusions with the language that is used here by Luke that ties back to Jesus, that the feedings of the thousands.
Right.
He directly quotes what Jesus had said to them about not a hair of your head will perish when on the day of judgment. He says the same thing to the sailors, the breaking of the bread and giving thanks to God. It's all that Eucharistic language that's in the Lord's Supper. So there's a lot going on many levels here.
Yeah. I thought that when you said that when he healed that man, that everyone that was sick came to him, like Jesus. Everyone kept coming to him.
I think it's in Acts 13 maybe, where Paul quotes Isaiah 49, I have appointed you a light to the Gentiles. Well, that in the first place, Simeon quotes that, and that's about Jesus. But now it's about the apostles. See, so Jesus in and through the apostles is continuing to do what he had started to do in the gospel. So I think that's another connection.
And these are Gentiles on the boat with a little Christian cohort that the we, which includes Paul and probably Luke, the author. We think of Paul as like this single hero who's marching around. But he's always got people with him, always got brothers and sisters in Christ with him.
Yes, co-workers. There's a lot going on here that Paul doesn't get, and most of it he never saw coming. But this he can depend on, that he's a member of the body, and that there he is in a place he's never been.
And there are believers there.
And there are believers. And, you know, missionaries in essentially non-Christian contexts have talked this way about how precious it is to meet a fellow disciple of Jesus. This is the best thing ever.
What do we get to know more deeply about Jesus through listening to this chaotic, close calls, and yet salvation story of salvation?
Well, one thing that came to mind was, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, right? And Jesus meant it. You know, Paul got to Rome, but not in the way he planned, certainly not under the circumstances that he was counting on. You know, I must show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. Mm. That's what Jesus said to Ananias when he went to baptize Paul. So in that sense, Paul is unique, right? He has a particular calling that I don't have. And yet that same determination of Jesus to bring light to the Gentiles is evidence here. You're going to get to Rome. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing then, of course, is that it ends before he does what Jesus says he's going to do.
Yeah, we never hear him testifying to Caesar.
But we know he has to. Because Jesus said he would.
That kills me, though. There's this epic book, and they don't tell you what happens. What happens to Paul?
Yeah.
It's thousands of books have been written about that.
Nobody knows. Left me hanging.
Yeah, sorry.
So, Jessica, what are you getting to know more deeply about Jesus by listening to this?
It's the relentlessness of this story. Mm-hmm. Things just keep happening and happening, and then they crash, and then there's a snake. You have to throw a snake in there. Yeah, so you couldn't predict any of those things.
Right.
But you also couldn't have guessed the ways that God provided for them.
Mm-hmm.
Through a centurion soldier, through islanders that you never met, you know, God kept providing for them. Even through the wind, God was blowing them in the way that he wanted them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives me some peace that God can do that for me too. Because like my life can seem kind of like, where did that come from? But I don't need to know how God will be with me, but he promises to be with me. And then in Jesus, I can trust. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to be blown around. I'm going to be shipwrecked and storm wrecked, but he's going to bring me home.
For me, it's the confidence that Jesus is working in us, you know, his body today. That's good news for me. I think of 2 Corinthians where Paul says that we carry the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus would be revealed in us. And so again, it's not us, it's Christ at work in us. And I told that story at the beginning of my dad, you know, doing that with the rope anchor 2 summers ago. We're in a bay in Florida, and we got 15 souls aboard this big pontoon boat with my family, and storm rolls in, and we're still like an hour ride back to the port, and a big wave comes over the top of the pontoon boat, and it felt like we were going under, but it's big pontoon, so it sprang up, and we kept going, and then the motor stalls in the midst of this, and we're trying to go, and we can't get the motor again, and we look in the back, the rope had tangled into the propellers. And I'm like, I've seen this before.
Did you have a pocket knife?
Was it your turn? Or did your dad
do it? Yeah, I was like, I've seen this before. I know it has to be done.
Wow.
And
it was just had to do it. And
yeah.
And I think that's kind of what Acts 27, 28 is like. We've seen this before. Uh-huh. Jesus has faced trial. Unpredictable things have come at him, and he's endured every storm, the cross, the worst of it, and rose victorious on the other side. And now he's just working that out in us and in his servant Paul in a unique way, but in all of us.
Right.
And that's comforting to know that what he's done in the past, he's doing again.
You know, it's a hanging ending. It's an open-ended ending. It's not a happy ending because you don't know what's going to happen to Paul. And Luke doesn't tell us. And we don't actually know. The traditions are kind of several and varied. But we know what capital T, capital E, the ending is. Mm-hmm. It's the same one that Jesus got. That is rising from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so Paul's been bearing witness to that hope. No matter what happens to him, that's what he's holding on to.
Anything else that you would want to leave with our listeners as we finish this conversation up? What would you want to say to someone who's listening?
I would want to remind them of what I learned, that things can be awful, like storm wreck awful, but Jesus is with you. Like, he was with them through the person of Paul. Who knows how Jesus will be with you, but he will be.
This is a hard one, but it's okay not to be in control, because we're not. But Jesus is Lord.
And I would say, take courage. What Jesus did once for all long ago, he's still doing. Amen. Thanks. I think that'll wrap it up.
I thought you were going to say, take courage, have a sandwich.
Have a sandwich. That'd be good, too.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that, too. They threw the wheat overboard. We trust you so much, we'll throw away the rest of the lunch. Okay.
Yeah.
That was good.
Take courage, have a sandwich. That's good, too.
Jessica Bordalo produces podcasts for Concordia Seminary that cover a variety of topics. Learn more at concordiatheology.org. Now, Dr. Michael Ziegler invites us to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor. Give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is brought to you each week through the support of our faithful listeners. We rely on your prayers and gifts. To learn how you can support and extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine today, showers and a few thunderstorms around, especially for this afternoon. Light northeast winds developing and highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, generally mostly cloudy and lower 60s, with more rain chances on Monday. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. It's 72 at our studios.
80s, 90s, and more.
That's the power of love. 99.7 Max FM.
Don't you know so many things they come and go, like your words that once rang true, just like the love I thought I found in you. And I remember the thunder talking about the fire in your eyes, but you walked away when I needed you most. Now baby, 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 I found someone to take away the heartache, to take away the loneliness I've been feeling since you've been gone, since you've been gone. Dry your eyes, I never could bear to see you cry. Someday your love will shine through and show you.
Baby, it's only tonight. Well, you called me up this morning, told me about the new love you found. I said, I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you. Found someone else, I guess I won't be coming round. I guess it's over, baby. It's really over, baby. Whoa. And from what you said, I know you've gotten over me. It'll never be the way it used to be. So if it's gotta be this way, don't worry, baby, I can take the news, okay? But if you see me walking by and the tears are in my eyes, look away, baby, look away. And if we meet on the street someday and I don't know what to say, look away, baby, look away. Don't look at me, I don't want you to see me this way. When we both still holding me, oh, I just never thought that I would be replaced so soon. I wasn't prepared to hear those words from you. I know I wanted to be free. Yeah, baby, this is how we wanted it to be. But if you see, I'm really happy for you.
See you. so don't forget me when I'm gone. My heart will break. I have loved you for so long. There's nothing wrong.
Man. Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant hanging out with you for a few minutes on Sunday morning. Don't forget we have the Farmer's Market this week, Wednesday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the Courthouse Square. Thursday nights are concerts on the square on the Courthouse Lawn, 7 p.m. in case of inclement weather. Those will be held at the Outring Link Theater. Looking at this afternoon, we do have some rain chances, so now's a good time to get all that yard work and outdoor stuff done before the rain gets here. Here's Phil Collins on Max FM. Thank you.
respect and the savoir-faire. No one in the whole universe will ever compare. I am yours now and you are mine, and together we'll love through all space and time. So don't cry, one day all seven will die.
Your name. groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Didn't really know what it was, but now I see what happened. This the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. It's late in the day and I ain't been on the court yet. Get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. This is Dave Grant. I'm going to step on out for a little bit. I got some yard work to do. I'll be back after 4 o'clock. Coming up after 12 will be Kid Kelly and Backtracks USA 80s. Here are the Pointer Sisters on Max FM.
I don't want to take it anymore. I'll just stay here locked behind the door. Just no time to stop and get away. 'Cause I work so